The Club Raymon Motor Cars Studio. You're listening to News Radio 1290 WJNO, an iHeartRadio station.
The thoughts and opinions expressed are those of the sponsors and don't necessarily reflect those of this station or iHeartMedia.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show with Mike Fox. Join Mike now as he shares his path to recovery with you. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at treatingfamilies.com. And now, here's Mike Fox.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mike Fox. We are doing a show here each Sunday. I'll be with you guys from 12 noon to 1 p.m. talking about all things recovery and specifically the treatment center that I work for, which is Family Center for Recovery, which is located in Lantana, Florida. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my journey and how I wound up there. And little by little, I'll tell my story and hopefully you guys will get to know me and our treatment facility, which we believe to be special. And I wound up there in 2012 as a patient suffering from drug addiction. I've struggled most of my life on and off with drug addiction. I've had periods of abstinence. I've had periods of clean time. But I struggled specifically in 2012. I had a major relapse and wound up really addicted to opiates and ultimately heroin, which we know today is epidemic proportions. I wound up at the Family Center for Recovery, which at the time was called Wellington Retreat. And I was under the care of Dr. Robert Moran, who is our medical director and chief operating officer. He's a triple board certified psychiatrist treating addiction and all psychiatric illnesses. We treat all kinds of illnesses besides addiction. We treat schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorders, bipolar disorders, obsessive-compulsive disorders, eating disorders, anxiety, all kinds of personality disorders, sleep disorders. If it's a psychiatric illness, we treat it. We believe that we separate ourselves from other treatment facilities because of the way we go about our business. We don't have clients, as many places today have. We have patients. We believe you're under a doctor's care. You are a patient. You're not a bad person trying to be good. You're a sick person trying to get well. And my good fortune brought me to Dr. Moran in 2012, where I became a patient. I was chronically depressed, suicidal, had survived a very serious suicide attempt, by the grace of God only, and had lost my job, my wife, my kids, and everything basically. And was basically suicidal when I showed up at Dr. Moran's door. I was blessed to have gotten the treatment that I got at the Family Center for Recovery. I was in treatment for almost 9 months. I then went back to where I'm from, which is New York City and New Jersey, in trying to save my marriage, which did not work out, and I promptly relapsed. Thank God I only stayed out there a little bit. I was out there for about, I don't know, a month or so. Wound up in a psych ward in New Jersey for 20-something days. Had electric shock therapy. I was chronically depressed. And I agreed to come back to Family Center for Recovery, which is where my journey of recovery began. I used to say that I would throw up in my mouth when people would say they had a spiritual awakening until I had one. I'm not a religious person. I did go to Catholic school. I was raised Catholic. I don't go to church on the regular. I wasn't someone who prayed unless it was foxhole prayers, you know. Please don't let this cop pull me over. Those kind of things. I wasn't living a very good life. I had written suicide notes to my wife, my children, my mom, my siblings, and was pretty much ready to hang myself when in a last moment plea of desperation, I got on my knees and begged God to help me. I don't know what God is, but I begged him to help me. I fell asleep that night, which I hadn't slept in months and months and months. And, you know, an hour here, 2 hours there, but never through the night. Well, that night I slept through the night, 7 or 8 hours. And I woke up without this impending doom and this anxiety that I had been feeling for months and months and months. Something was different. I don't know what it was. I believe for me that God saved me from myself that night and put me to sleep. That was 2 years and 2 months ago. I'm happy to say that I've been clean and sober since that night. My life has been blessed beyond my wildest dreams since then. I now work for Dr. Moran. I run the alumni program. I run out 12-step facilitation groups for the adults and the adolescents. I basically have a job where I get to go where I sat broken and suicidal and try to help somebody else. I believe it's a simple philosophy. For me, the kinder I am to people, the better my life becomes. I try to be kind to everybody. We're going to talk about a lot of things on this show, some of them controversial. I hope that we're going to do it in a positive tone. I believe positive attracts positive, negative attracts negative, so I'm going to try to stay away from any negativity. I believe that I'm here for a reason, or I would not have survived my own madness. And I try to help people today, and I seem to be helping people today, and that makes me feel really good about myself, which helps me stay away from the things that led me here in the first place. Now, specifically, our treatment center, Family Center for Recovery, we treat, like I said, all sorts of psychiatric illnesses. But we have components to our program that we believe are different than other places. You know, my own experience led me to 10 different rehabs through the years, from 2004 until 2012. Most of them the same, except for the geography. And this place is different. It's hard. It's not easy. We have a very tough program. Different things were expected. We have different levels of care. It's very structured. And it's hard. A lot of people say, well, it's easy, you know, just stop or whatever. You know, I don't subscribe to this simple program for complicated people. And I know a lot of people do, and that's okay, whatever works for you. For me, it's really, really hard to get and stay clean. It's a hard thing to do. You know, we have 20 million drug addicts in this country. You know, I think if it was easy, that wouldn't be the case, and we wouldn't need all these treatment centers. So I think it's really hard, and I can empathize with anybody who's going through it. What works for me in running the groups that I run is that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a clinician, I'm not a therapist. I'm a recovering drug addict. So the patients identify with me, and that's a big part of recovery. All 12-step fellowships, you know, they tell us not to compare but to identify. So the patients seem to identify with me, you know. If they're having a problem with suicidal ideation, I know what that feels like. They're suffering from anxiety. I know what that feels like. They're having cravings. I know what that feels like. So they identify. You know, whenever I speak in those groups, I try to keep it, we need to do this, not you need to do this. My experience has taught me that this works for me. You know, I'm a guy that couldn't stay clean for one day in the end, and I've managed to put 2 years and 2 months together. So this is what I did. Maybe it'll work for you. I try to bring a positive energy into the room whenever I step into that room, and it seems to be working. I'm blessed to go through this place every day. It's a job, and it's really a blessing. It's not a job at all. Every day when I put the key in the door to the building, yes, I have a key to the building, right? When I got here, you wouldn't give me a key to your lunchbox. I'm that guy. I will take your wallet. I will help you look for it. And by the time I'm done, you're going to thank me for helping you look for that wallet, right? That's how I lived. I don't live that way today. So I have a key to the building. I have an office. And when I put that key in the door every single day, I look up and I just say, thank you for bringing me here and reminding me why I came here in the first place. Last weekend was our family weekend. Big, big component of our program. We believe that if we can't get your loved ones, your family, or whoever your loved ones might be, on board with what we're trying to do, it makes it very difficult or nearly impossible for us to treat you. You know, there's a lot of enabling that goes on, all through love. Everybody's always trying to help their loved one, their kid, their husband, their wife, whoever the person is who's sick. So we have a huge family weekend, which starts off on a Thursday evening with me running an alumni group with former patients of our facility, speaking to the families and basically giving testimonials that, hey, listen, we went through this program and here we are. It worked for us and we're still clean. You know, a couple months back, we had a meeting on a Thursday evening, an alumni meeting that I was running. And I realized, because of my two stays at Family Center for Recovery, there was 12 of us in the room. And I realized that at one time or another, I was in treatment with all 12 of the people in the room. All still clean. 3 years, 2 years, 18 months, 16 months, 14 months, 9 months, 4 months, 2 months, whatever it might have been. Which is pretty unusual as treatment goes. You know, there's something special going on here. We don't have a 30-day program. We don't put a time limit on it. We believe that when the treatment team and the doctor believes that you are ready to move on, you move on. Now, people get scared by long stays, right? I stayed 9 months. The second time, I stayed 12 months. But part of that program is moving into a transitional living, which is similar to halfway living, but much more structured, right? We live in apartments. We pay rent. We have to have a job. It's part of the deal. You pay your rent. You come to clinical at first, maybe 3 days a week. Then when the therapist and the doctor see fit that you're doing better, maybe we come 2 days a week, 1 day a week, once every other week, whatever it might be. Ultimately, in the end, you're coming once a month. You're out. And we'll talk about that in more in depth when I talk about our structure. But for me, it was necessary. You know, my dad passed away when I was young. He was an alcoholic. He was in recovery for the last 20 years of his life. And the last thing he said to me was, I love you. I've always loved you. And I was really hard on you. But you needed hard. And I did. I needed hard. This treatment center is not easy. It's hard. But again, I needed hard. It works. It's a program we believe in. I was working a job that I absolutely loved, building scenery and setting up shows, which is something I've done my whole life. Way back in New York on Broadway for many, many years. And the doctor called me and asked me if I would consider running the alumni program for him. I don't know that I would have done it for anybody else, but I have a special relationship with this man. I believe he saved my life, and I believe I owe him my life. And it's probably the best decision I ever made. I love what I do. I get to help people every day, and that's really special. When I came here, I didn't want to help anybody. I really didn't care about anybody but myself. Very selfish, self-centered, egotistical. It's all about me. I love me. Who do you love? You're not sure? I think you should love me. You know, it's not the way I live today. I really do try to help people, and that's my mission today, to carry the message to the alcoholic, the addict, or the person who suffers from any psychiatric illness, suicidal ideation, any of those things that I identify with, I try to reach out and help the next person. And that's how this thing works. So I feel really, really lucky to be sitting here today talking to you folks. We're going to talk about all things recovery. We're going to talk about the things that are difficult for us with recovery. One of them being resistance to change. It's a really big part of how we attack our program because everybody has a certain amount of resistance to change. I certainly did, right? We come into treatment. We surrender. I'll do anything. You know, then you get some medication and you start feeling better. And 4 days in, I'm good. I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready to leave. Or I'm not ready to do whatever is asked of me. You know, we say we surrender, but we don't really surrender. Or at least I didn't really surrender. And that's what's really needed. I need to really surrender, turn it over, and do what I'm told. And let the doctors and the people who know what they're doing tell me what to do. And once I could accept that, I started to heal. You know, it's not enough for me to take away the alcohol and drugs. I have to work on myself and do the things that are necessary on a daily basis to stay clean. We're going to go to commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk more. Great to be with you, folks.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
Today's cheat sheet brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank. Inside the strong start to 2017 for real estate. You've heard that nationally it's a seller's market, near record seller's market. Well, we continue to see what some of the outcomes are. In fact, it's the most overall profitable time to sell a home in the past decade, according to Adam Data Solutions. What does the average price appreciation across the United States mean for you? What means that the average home is selling for $44,000 more than it did this time last year, which is a fairly instructive thing, because when you take a look at that, it puts a dollar amount to what I so frequently talk about. If you rented over the past year, not only do you not have anything to show for it, but you might have higher rent rates now, in addition to the prospect for potentially higher mortgage rates as well. And you'd be paying $44,000 more on average for the same home if you were to buy today. It's one more reason that the best time to purchase a home would have been yesterday, but the next best time is today. If you're in a position to do so, to where you're locked in for the next minimum of 3 years, but it's a no-brainer if it's going to be 5 or more years, you really need to be taking a look at what you can do to purchase and set yourself up for success. For the complete cheat sheet, you can get it at WJNO.com.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, treatingfamilies.com. And now, here's Mike Fox.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining us, this is the Family Center for Recovery radio show with Mike Fox. I am Mike Fox. Imagine that. If you want to email me with any questions or anything you might have, you can reach me at M as in Mike, F-O-X, at FCFRMD.com. That's M, F-O-X, at FCFRMD.com. Shoot me an email. Tell me what you think. If you have something you'd like to hear on the show, a subject, anything regarding recovery, addiction, any psychiatric illness, we're going to have the doctor, Dr. Robert Moran, who is the CEO and chief medical officer of our facility. We're going to have some questions for him. We're going to interview him at one point on the show. We're going to be with you guys every Sunday from noon to 1 p.m., talking all things recovery and keeping it positive. I just wanted to share a little bit about the structure of our program. We specialize in some things that a lot of people stay away from. We do have an adolescent program. You know, people, kids that are 13 to 17 that are struggling with psychiatric illnesses and or addiction. We also specialize in treating pregnant women, especially pregnant women who are addicted to opiates. You know, there's some controversy involved in treating those women with Suboxone and how to go about it, or Subutex. Our doctor is an expert in this field. We've been very successful. We have had women come to our program pregnant, move on to our transitional living housing, and actually have and raise their babies in our facility. Amazing stuff. They become like babies for all of us that were in treatment with these people. The doctor specializes in all these things, addiction. He's triple board certified. He's the only doctor that owns and operates a treatment facility like this anywhere in Florida, and probably anywhere in the country, but certainly anywhere in Florida. We're located in Lantana, Florida, and I can't say enough about the place because it saved my life. Simply put, it saved my life, right? I owe my life to this place. I don't consider it a job. I go there every day and love what I do. I've been blessed over the last several months to get an opportunity to work with the adolescents and 12-step facilitation, which is basically the steps of recovery in all 12-step fellowships, AA, NA, Gamblers Anonymous, all 12-step fellowships, which basically sprung from Alcoholics Anonymous back in 1935. And we believe that this is a big component of the program. The doctor believes in it, but we also believe in science-based treatment. You know, we're trying to attack the stigma attached to all types of psychiatric illnesses, and especially addiction, right? It's like a dirty word to some people. Guess what? Everybody knows somebody who's addicted to drugs. And, you know, it used to be, you know, just the kids in the ghetto or just the jazz musicians or whoever. Guess what? It's epidemic proportions in this country. You know, people are paying attention. It's Johnny Quarterback. It's Susie Cheerleader today. Kids are getting addicted to painkillers, which eventually leads them to heroin. We are losing people at a ridiculous rate, and this is something that we want to bring to the forefront and be a part of the solution and try to erase some of the stigma. The good news is that, you know, we have science now to back up a lot of this stuff. You know, addiction is a chronic brain disease and recognized by all medical professionals as such. People struggle with that. I get it. But get over it. It's a brain disease. When people are addicted to drugs, they damage the part of their brain that is responsible for executive functioning, reasoning, impulse control, anxiety tolerance. All these things are part of your prefrontal cortex, which is the front region of your brain. And when you're addicted to drugs, you damage your brain severely. You're incapable of making good decisions at that point. So there's science to back this up. We're blessed. We have MRIs. We have functional MRIs. You know, the doctors can now look at the brain and say, okay, your brain is healing. You know, the doctor stays up on all the latest literature, all the research. I can't say enough about the fact that regardless of the psychiatric illness, we treat it. It's not just a rehab. We don't consider ourselves a rehab. We don't, like I said before, we don't have clients, we have patients. So if you're just tuning in, this is a little different than your typical recovery stuff. We believe firmly in what we do. We treat the whole family. We don't just treat your loved one who's afflicted with addiction or another psychiatric illness. We treat the families so that when you go back to your environment, the families don't go back to the same cycle and continue the same thing over and over and over. You know, Albert Einstein once said that when you do the same thing over and over and you expect different results, that's the definition of insanity. Well, that's not my experience. See, my experience was that I did the same thing over and over and over, knowing full well what was going to happen, and did it anyway. So I had to dig deeper and find out why is it that knowing what's going to happen, I did it anyway. I couldn't stop. You know, I couldn't handle my anxieties. I couldn't handle my wife divorcing me. I couldn't handle my children not speaking to me. So I did what I always did, which was self-medicate. I was addicted at a very young age. In my last several relapses, there was never a time where I said, you know what, I think I'm going to have a few beers. Or I think I'm going to do a few painkillers. Or I think I'm going to do a little bit of heroin. That wasn't my story. I knew full well that if I drank or drugged, it was going to be horrible really quick. But I did it anyway because I was incapable of handling stress, anxiety. I did what I always did. No impulse control. I just used. That's what I did. And in the end, it brought me to suicide. I survived a very serious suicide attempt and was still poised to hang myself a year later. So I really needed to take a hard look at things, not just the alcohol and the drugs. They became my solution. Turns out I'm the problem. Alcohol and drugs were my solution. You take them away, and I don't work on myself, and I don't do anything for myself, and I'm stuck with a miserable person. You know, you might have heard the term dry drunk. Well, I was that for many years. And it doesn't work. So I had to dig deeper. Part of that for me was a spiritual awakening and getting involved in a 12-step fellowship and really working those steps. You know, I fluffed through them more than once, didn't really do them the way you're supposed to do them until this very last time. And, you know, it's part of my life every day. Like I said, I got on my knees and begged for help, and I got it. So I start every day on my knees. I keep it simple. I'm not overly religious. I thank God for keeping me clean yesterday. Please help me stay clean today. And I go out and try to help people. And this is what's working for me. I get to go in and teach these adolescents what works for me. I try not to be preachy. I find that doesn't work. It didn't work for me. And I don't think it works. I think we have to have compassion, empathy, which I had none of when I got here. And I've learned to empathize, especially with people with other psychiatric illnesses. Right? For me, I'm lucky. I don't have schizophrenia. I'm not bipolar. I don't suffer from panic disorders or personality disorders. I'm really lucky. You know what? If Mike stays away from drugs and alcohol, and keeps himself spiritually fit to a certain degree, I'm going to be just fine. And that's not the case with a lot of people that suffer from these other psychiatric illnesses. They're going to be medicated maybe their whole life, and that's okay too, but it's a struggle. It's hard. It's not easy. I've learned to empathize with those people. So I ask everybody out there, empathize with the people you see. Don't judge. Judging doesn't do anything. If you have a son or a daughter or a loved one who's struggling with addiction, get them help. Don't say, just stop. That doesn't work, I promise you. If you're addicted to drugs, you can't just stop. It doesn't work that way. Like I said earlier, if it did, we wouldn't have 20 million drug addicts in this country. Epidemic proportions of young people dying of overdoses every single day in this country. So we're trying to change that, trying to keep it positive, trying to keep the stigma away. Like I said, you're not a bad person trying to be good. You're a sick person trying to get well. And we think we do that as well as anybody, and that's why I'm here talking about our program and what it meant to me and what I think it can mean to anybody that comes to our facility, gets treated as a patient with compassion, with care, and it's tough, too. I'm not afraid to say that. It's not. I think that as we go through over the next weeks, we're going to try to bring in some guests, going to get the doctor in here. Maybe you could email some questions. Like I said, you can email me directly at mfox@fcfrmd.com. Questions, comments, concerns, what you think maybe we could do to enhance this show and bring awareness to more people. Happy to do it. Hoping we're going to keep it all positive. You know, there's some controversial stuff out there, and I like to get educated on it. If there's questions that I don't know, I will seek the doctor's wisdom to answer questions that I don't know. I have opinions, and when I give a specific opinion, I will tell you it's Mike's opinion. Nowhere is it written. But what I found is my experience is real. That's where the identification with other recovering addicts comes. My story is real, and I like to share it. I feel it's my responsibility to share it. As part of a 12-step fellowship, that's part of the deal. Carrying the message to the alcoholic or the addict or even the mental health psychiatric patient who's still suffering. And this is what we try to do. We do it every day. I'm blessed to be part of a team that really cares about our patients. Again, patients, not clients. I don't know who came up with that, okay? I am not down with clients. If I want to do a client, I'm doing business about banking, stocks, whatever it might be. I think someone started it, maybe a political correct thing. I don't know, but we don't have clients. We have patients. You're under a doctor's care. When you're in the hospital, they don't call you a client. You're a patient. You're under a doctor's care. So you're a patient. And we own that. We have patients. We don't have clients. And I think that's important. You know, client, we're hiding something. You're not a client. If you're addicted to drugs and you're in drug treatment or you suffer from a psychiatric illness and you're under a doctor's care, being medicated, being, you know, observed on a daily basis to see how you're progressing, you're a patient. And that's how we treat people. I think that some of the things we do, other places don't do. That's been my experience having been to 10 other rehabs. I don't know, 25 to 50 detoxes of sorts. And my experience in those places was similar everywhere, minus the geography, different locations all over the place. You know, my family tried to help me, sent me to the best places all over this country. But this is where I got it. This is where I got clean. This is where I continue to stay clean. This is where I work on a daily basis and believe in everything that we do. You know, and there's a lot of things that we do now that I'm totally on board with that when I came in as a patient, I was totally against. That's bull. This is bull. Well, you know, I thought I knew everything. And, you know, somebody said to me one day, you know what, Mike, you need to sit down, shut up, and if we want to know how to get high, we'll call on you. Because that's what you know how to do. And you know what? They were right. That's what I knew how to do. And left to my own devices, that's what I did. Things got tough. I got high. That was my solution to everything. So I had to finally open my ears, be open-minded, listen to what the professionals who were trying to save my life had to say. And it's hard. It's hard. Especially when you're hardwired one day. I talked about it earlier, resistance to change. I was full of it. Our brains don't like change. So this is something we address immediately. And step by step, we do different interventions. And when we get back, we're going to talk more about those interventions.
The Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran. And he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. Mike will be right back.
Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery, before little problems become big problems.
But today's cheat sheet brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank. Yikes. What percentage of your income is going just to service debt? Ready for this? According to new research from Northwestern Mutual, they found is that 40% of what Americans earn on average is going to simply service debt. 40% of what you bring in. Think about that. All the different types of debt that you happen to have. So if we take a look at the opportunity for you to increase your income, it's always easier to end up paying off debt and not having as much residual output that's needed than it is necessarily making more money. There are multiple different ways to improve your overall bottom line. So having an intentional plan with the free cash flow you do have to invest but also to reduce debt is critical to overall reduction and 4 out of every $10 you bring through the door. So, an intentional plan and food for thought. For the complete cheat sheet, you can get it at WJNO.com.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery, before little problems become big problems.
Today's cheat sheet brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank. Earnings season is turning out to be awesome. Here's what it means for you and your investments, plus the economy. Talked about how coming into earnings season, S&P 500 earnings were anticipated to be up 10.4%. Just incredible. First double-digit anticipated increase in earnings in 6 years. Well, we're getting it and more. This far into earnings season, estimates have actually been raised. For the first quarter that's reporting right now, the current estimate is now 11.8%, according to Thomson Reuters. 11.8%. Next quarter, anticipating earnings up 9.5% year over year. For Q3, up 9.3% year over year. And Q4, up 13.5% year over year. This is exciting, and it provides an underpinning to some of the increases in stock valuations that we've seen. But now we just need to see the overall economy follow through in addition to the bottom line in corporate America. For the complete cheat sheet, you can get it at WJNO.com.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery, before little problems become big problems.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show with Mike Fox. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, or patients with mental health issues. Call 855-202-4220.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Mike Fox for the Family Center for Recovery radio show. This is really exciting. It's our first show, and we're trying to pump a lot of information out there. And hopefully as weeks go on and we get some feedback from you guys, I'd love it if you email me at mfox@fcfrmd.com. That's mfox@fcfrmd.com. Email me. Give me some ideas. See what you want to hear. If there's a topic that we can, you know, if it's regarding recovery or psychiatric illness, we will attack it to the best of our ability. If I don't have the answers, I will get them from the professionals, the doctors. And we're going to try to keep this thing positive. And we're going to be here every Sunday from 12 noon until 1 p.m. on 1290. Glad you're with us. If you're just joining us, I told a little bit about my story. I am a recovering drug addict and alcoholic, and I happened to stumble upon this treatment facility in 2012, and after two stays at this treatment, I was able to get some recovery and maintain some clean time, and now work for this treatment facility as the alumni director and the 12-step facilitation group runner. So talking before the break about resistance to change, the doctor will always tell us that this is the most challenging thing. See, our brains don't like change. Our brains are hardwired, literally, to resist change. So when people come in, it's the biggest challenge we have. Everybody comes in, and, you know, if you wind up in a treatment facility, let's say specifically for drug or alcohol addiction, something in your life brought you there, you know. Your life obviously is not rainbows and lollipops if you show up at a treatment facility for drug or alcohol abuse. So when we first come in, we've already committed that, hey, I got a problem. We've acknowledged that. But we talk about surrender. And, you know, we think we surrender. I thought I surrendered many times, but I didn't. See, when we surrender, it means without condition. That's what true surrender means, you know. And it's a hard thing to do. But if you can surrender to the program that you're in, and just get on board, even if you don't like what someone's asking you to do and you think it's stupid and you think that's, there's no reason for me to do that, I don't struggle with that. What I realized is that when I finally accepted the treatment 100%, no matter what they told me to do, and I did it, even if I disagreed with it, it made it easy. I didn't have to make that decision. I didn't struggle. So acceptance is a big part of it too. And as the longer you stay in treatment, the good news is that our brains begin to heal and we start to see things a little bit more clearly. And that helps us with the resistance to change. So let me talk a little bit about our program and our levels of care. You know, our first level of care, if you come in addicted to alcohol and or drugs, is our detox unit. And that's our highest level of care, right? You're almost acute. Especially alcohol detox can be very dangerous if you try to do it cold turkey. All kinds of delirium tremens, or you've heard of seizures. This happens. It can be a very serious detox. So detox is our highest level of care. And then we have residential, which when patients first get out of detox, they're housed in our facility, and we keep a close eye on them, and they have a different schedule of groups. After residential care, we have what's called PHP, which stands for Partial Hospitalization Program, which your groups change a little bit. Your schedule changes a little bit. Each level of care gets a little bit more freedom and things that you can handle a little bit more as you start to get better. After our PHP portion of our program is IOP, which stands for Intensive Outpatient. At this point, you move into our transitional housing, which is off-property. There are apartments, duplexes, very nice, where you live. You're responsible to get a job, pay your rent. We are responsible for medication compliance, drug screens, and you're basically living in what a lot of people would consider halfway house-like living, but there's much more structure. We have staff 24/7. We take our patients to 12-step facilitation meetings, whether it be NA or AA or whatever the patient might need, and there's much more structure than your typical halfway house. And you might be at first 4 or 5 days a week coming to clinical part of the day, working the other part of the day. And then ultimately, our goal is to move you to OP, which is outpatient, which you only come to treatment maybe once a week at first, maybe once every 2 weeks. And ultimately, in the end of your treatment, our goal is to see you once a month and you're welcome to live in our transitional housing. Then when we get to our outpatient, we have different levels of care, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Each one giving you more freedoms and more challenges to face life on life's terms. As you heal and as you get better, these, you know, life on life's terms is going to happen. How are you going to handle this? Like, we have phone requirements that you get your phone back at level 3. You can handle your own money. You're responsible to get yourself to meetings. These type of things. Our level 3 and 4 patients run 12-step meetings for the lower level care patients. These type of things. It's all structured. It's all designed. Every intervention we do is designed step by step to slowly but surely increase your anxiety tolerance, because a lot of things cause people anxiety. So our program is solid. It's very structured. If you have any questions on it, again, feel free to email me, mfox@fcfrmd.com. I would welcome any emails and, you know, even suggestions for what we might do on this show going forward. You know, it's the first show, so hopefully we got some listeners and you guys are paying attention and ask questions. Feel free to ask questions. We're here to help. We're going to keep it positive as much as we can. There are some, like I said, negative connotations and negative vibes that come with addiction and recovery, but we see it as positive. You're in treatment. You're trying to get help. Again, you're a sick person trying to get well, not a bad person trying to be good. I would say that the biggest thing that I think our program does that other programs might not do is our length of stay. We don't put a length of stay on it. You know, originally back in the 70s, the original model for drug rehab or treatment was 30 days. And basically what it came down to is this is what the insurance companies would pay for. So it became this 30-day model. Hey, you go away 30 days, you're fixed, and that's it. And we don't believe it works. Does anybody ever get clean in a 30-day program? Of course they do. Can you get clean in a 30-day program? Yes, you can. I would never say you can't. My first treatment center was 2004, was a 30-day program, and I did, in fact, stay clean for 18 months following that treatment. So you can get clean elsewhere. You can get clean in a short-term program. But our experience has shown us that the longer you stay in treatment, the statistical odds are better for you the longer you stay in treatment, that the longer you will stay clean. The math backs us up on that. We have a lot of patients that have been through our program that are still clean. We have alumni meetings every Thursday night that I'm fortunate enough to get to run. And the numbers speak for themselves. People that are in treatment longer than 30 days have a better chance to stay clean than people that are in 30 days. If you stay 32 days, 34 days, I was in treatment for 9 months. That doesn't mean, again, that you're in the facility for 9 months. It's just that our program moves on to transitional living, and we believe that the structure is needed, and slowly but surely, we increase all the tasks, the life on life's terms, all those things that you're going to face in life, we try to get you to face before you leave us. I shared earlier a little bit, if you're just joining us, we just got through Family Weekend, which is a very important part of our program. Every other month, we have a family weekend, and all the families of the patients are welcome to come. In fact, encouraged strongly to attend. They meet with our former patients, our alumni, on a Thursday evening, and hear some of our former patients who are alumni share their experience, strength, and hope in their journey through our facility and how they've managed to stay clean. On Friday, there's a tour of our facility for the families. And then the doctor, Dr. Robert Moran, who's the CEO and Chief Medical Operating Officer on site every single day, gives a lecture on the brain and the disease of addiction and all the psychiatric illnesses. It's a very long lecture. It's all day. The information is invaluable. The families then attend other Al-Anon meetings. And on Saturday morning, we have what we believe to be the most therapeutic way to treat all kinds of psychiatric illnesses, which is group therapy. We have what we call community. We do it every day. But on family weekend, it's all the families, all the patients, all the therapists, all the staff, med students. We have many med students that come and work in our facility and do their
clinical stuff at our facility and learn from the doctor. And it basically airs out all the community issues, who's struggling with what family dynamics. We get to see that in person, who's struggling with what, who needs help with what. And it's basically an all-day affair, 5-6 hours, everybody going through their issues, really therapeutic for everybody. And then the families have lunch with their loved ones, and there's more meetings in the afternoon. In the evening, dinner with your loved ones. And then on Sunday, we meet the doctor, myself, and some of the staff, meet with just the families and our level 4 patients. Our level 4 patients are right before they're getting ready to transition out and go back to their lives, and they share their journey through. And it's really helpful for the new families to come and see, hey, these are people that went through this program, they're doing really well, and they share their experience. The families are welcome and do ask many questions. They have many questions, concerns, and it's really, really therapeutic. We believe that if we don't get your loved ones and your families allied with us and on board with 100% of what we're doing, it's very difficult for us to treat you. You know, I used to say, you want to know how I'm doing? Ask my family. Because your family generally knows, or your loved one, whoever you spend most of your life with, they know when you're struggling. They know when you're not doing good. My family certainly did. My family tried very hard to help me for many years. And I got in their way, and they got in their own way. They weren't educated the way they got educated here. When my family came here for family weekend, everything changed. The enabling stopped. They healed themselves. You know, we have a GroupMe app where all the families just talk to each other, not about the patients, with like situations that they've gone through. The families that have been through it help the newer families. It's really, really a comprehensive program that I believe to be second to none. Like I said, I left a job that I absolutely loved. I spent most of my life in New York building scenery and setting up shows on Broadway, Radio City, Madison Square Garden, all over, you know, the theater mecca of the world. And I found a job down here in Florida doing the same thing, and I loved it. Great job. I left that job because the doctor asked me to take this job, and it's one of the greatest decisions I've ever made. That's why I'm sitting here at this microphone right now, which is amazing also. I feel blessed to be here. I'm hoping that you guys are listening in and spread the word that every Sunday from 12 to 1 on 1290, we're going to be doing this. And we're open to suggestions. We have a positive outlook on all this, and we're trying to help. And that's what we're here for, and we continue to do it on a daily basis. You know, we're going to go into a break soon, but when we come back from the break, I'm going to share something that I wrote when I was in a much darker place. And as the weeks go on, I'm going to share some of my writings. I do write some poetry, and I'm going to share some of the stuff I wrote. And you can almost feel how the darkness came to the light as I was able to heal myself. Truly blessed to be here. I'm glad you're with us, and we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook for more about their mental health services and Addiction Resources Center. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call 855-202-4220. Mike will be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad to be with you. I am Mike Fox, and I am sharing my journey through addiction and recovery and my employ at Family Center for Recovery. We talked about a lot of things today. It's the first show. I'm kind of all over the place, but that's okay. We're going to keep it positive. I just want to give a shout-out today. It's April 30th, Sunday, April 30th, and it happens to be my mom's 75th birthday. Happy birthday, Janet. I love you. This is a woman I tortured, people. Tortured her. She still worries about me as if I was a 14-year-old kid. I love you, Mom. She never gave up on me, even when I gave up on myself. Wonderful woman, through and through, and I love her with all my heart. Happy birthday, Mama. Love you. I'll tell you, you know, I think we spoke about most stuff, and as the weeks go on, we'll talk about more and more. But I'd love some input. I'd love you to email me at mfox@fcfrmd.com. Questions, comments, concerns. And with that, I'm going to share a little something I wrote. I write some poetry, and this is something I wrote a long time ago. And things have changed since then, but this is something I want to share with you guys. It's called I'm Just a Boy. I'm just a boy, lost and afraid, regretting my past, the choices I made. Searching for answers I can't seem to find. Can't let it go, can't leave it behind. Hurt all the people who love me so dear. I couldn't get straight, I ran from the fear. When will it stop? When will it end? Will I get better? Will my heart mend? I can't go on like this, not for much longer. I wish I was brave. I wish I was stronger. It's all been a secret. It's all been a lie. I'm losing my mind. I just want to die. I'm just a boy, lost and afraid. The game is now over, and I never played. Well, folks, it's been really nice getting to know you guys. I hope you got to know me a little bit. I hope you'll tune in next Sunday, 12 noon to 1 p.m., 1290 a.m., for the Family Center for Recovery radio show with Mike Fox. That's me. And I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and thanks for joining us.
You're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show with Mike Fox. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Mike will be right back.